So welcome back to another Folk It List podcast with me, Nick Bramley. You've heard of the bucket list? Well, this is the antidote to the bucket list and to uninspiring goal setters. So if you're a motivational speaker or a regular goal setter who's challenging yourself for likes and clicks on social media, you might just want to click off now. This is not the podcast for you. Today, I've got a great guest, a long-standing friend of mine who is great fun on and off a podcast. So I'm expecting great things. Today's guest is Katie Thompson, director and founder of Katie Lingo. So without further ado, Katie, welcome to the Folk It List podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. You were high on my list of early guests and possible guests. And thankfully, you put your hand up and said, I'll give it a go. But I will qualify this a little bit. You're sort of here under false pretenses, aren't you? Because you are a little bit of a goal setter, aren't you? You are a little bit of a sort of aspirational. I want to do this, I want to do that, etc. Which is great, by the way. But what you're not doing is you're not making loads of noise about a lot of that, which is what the Folk It List is about, really. It's about calling out those people who are doing a little bit of that. You know, I've done Couch to 5K and you know, Aren't I Marvellous and all that kind of thing. You're better than that. Or let's see if you're better than that, Katie, shall we? So we talk about three things that you've got zero intention of ever looking to achieve or aspire to. And one thing that you do, and I share one of each with my guests over the course of the podcast. So without further ado, let's crack on your first one. Now, your first one, I think there's probably a backstory that we need to know, but what is it that you got no intention of ever doing again?
Well, it's interesting when you say there's a backstory to it, because when you say that the thing I would never do is drink whiskey again, you immediately assume I've ended up with my head in a toilet, which has probably happened, but with gin. But the whiskey story, well, I think the last time I drank whiskey was on a tour in Edinburgh with my partner, Craig. And, you know, I was really going, you know, really struggling through it. But I said to him, like, you know, this is a birthday present for you. And I don't really like whiskey. And I'll tell you for why. Technically, it's bourbon, I suppose. I'm not really sure of the semantics. But when I was a child, I grew up, there were six children in one house, and head lice would be bandied about between us. And it was a chronic problem because there were six of us. And I think they must have become immune to the shampoos or whatever. So my mother, in her infinite wisdom, decided to steal some of my dad's Jack Daniels. They had been divorced for many years.
Yeah.
And put me in the bath, 8 years old, and put Jack Daniels on my head. And she said it was like the Titanic at the bottom of the bath. And I think from there on...
Well, hang on. Right. So there's a whole industry around eradicating head lice. It's a genuine problem at primary and infant school level. My wife's a teaching assistant. They have outbreaks and, you know, they're hard to control. And, you know, girls in particular have to put the hair up and all those kind of things. And you know, pretty voracious, these bloody things, aren't they? But no one's ever said to me, waste good Jack Daniels pouring it on your head to get rid. But apparently, from what you said, it worked.
Well, yeah, definitely. I can't remember if that was the end of it. But what I do remember is a few months later, what my mum did is got some tea and topped up the bottle, because as I say, they were divorced, they weren't really getting on very well.
Yeah.
And my dad, a few months later, went to open his Jack Daniels and said, they'd obviously separated. He was like, this looks like it's been topped up with tea.
Yes.
But so, I don't know.
So is the whiskey down to the trauma of your parents' divorce, the trauma of sitting in a bath, having your head covered in Jack Daniels, or just the fact that it's a pretty acquired taste, isn't it? Whiskey, of all of the spirits, of all the spirits, it's got the strongest kind of reaction, as it's very, very powerful. I quite like a really nice single malt, but I wouldn't choose one over a gin and tonic, which probably makes me a peasant in the eyes of some people. But, you know, it's a tough drink, isn't it, to get into? But your backstory, I had visions of you, you know, your head down the toilet when you said there's a backstory. No idea of connecting that with head lice.
No, well, I have plenty of head down the toilet stories, but just from other drinks. Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like it's drinking fire. You know, I'm the same with a hot curry. All right, you know, I like a korma. Sue me. I have eaten the world's hottest chili pepper before.
I'm going to have to sue you for the karma, by the way. But that's not one of your three things: the ambition to eat a fowl or a vindaloo. So we'll move on from that. But I guess just the whole essence of whiskey brings back memories, and I totally love the backstory. And now you've probably set a lot of people in motion. You know, people who've got kids who are sat there. You know, they're breaking up for the summer holidays. Have brought head lice into the house. Let's get the Jack Daniels out. Just don't top it up. Just finish the bottle. It's probably easier.
Yeah, she should have done that too.
Good stuff. What a backstory! Brilliant. That's a good start. The second one is I'm totally with you on the second one. The second one just feels wrong. Although I see why people do it. So what's your second one that you've got no intention of ever doing, Katie?
So I know you and I have the same problem, but I wear lenses, visually impaired, and I don't think I would ever get laser eye surgery. It creeps me the hell out.
Well, I can't even wear lenses because I can't have anything on my eye. If somebody points to my eye or points at my eye or somewhere near my eye, it's just like a real cringy thing. I don't know where that comes from. There's probably some childhood trauma hidden away somewhere with a pencil, I would imagine, at school. I don't know. I've no idea. But I can't even wear lenses. So I wear glasses, have done all the time. The thought of someone peeling back the layer of your eye and then putting what could only be described as a hot thing down your eyeball. Really? Do you know anyone who's had it done, Katie?
My uncle's had it done. And, you know, he told me all about, oh, yeah, they peel it back. He was laughing about it. And he was like, yeah, and you can smell the burning flesh.
What? Hang on. So he was awake?
Yeah, I assume so. I don't know if it was like a Clockwork Orange kind of thing, you know.
So hang on. He was awake and he could smell the burning flesh?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. I suppose, you know, it's a laser going straight into your eyeball. It's going to burn.
Everyone who has it done swears blind that it's a life changer. You know what? I'd rather have a dog and a harness and a stick, I think, because the idea of someone doing that to you is just as alien as it comes to me. You're looking at, if you're watching the podcast on YouTube, you'll see Katie. I think your eyes are streaming and squinting just at the thought of it, aren't they? Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And have you ever seen the Final Destination films?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, terrible, but, you know, good fun. I think in one of them, there was someone who went in for laser eye surgery, and obviously death wanted them next, so it went wrong, and it burnt through her head, and there was a fire or whatever. You know, obviously it's not going to happen. Oh, why risk it?
I don't think I've ever seen that at Specsavers, you know, when that's been on the adverts. I'm not sure that the death is coming for you. We're going to blow your head to bits, but I get what you're saying, though. Are you squeamish in general about things, or...?
I mean, you know, I wear contact lenses. I remember when I first put them in, I had a trial and it was half an hour to put them in. And I was there 45 minutes trying to put them in. The woman's going, I'm supposed to be on my lunch break. Sorry. You know, and I was, but I suppose you get used to it. But I don't think I'll ever get used to the idea of putting a laser in my eye.
No. I'm of an age where I've had glasses for a while. I think in the early days of me wearing glasses, contact lens technology wasn't great. It would probably be like putting the bottom of a milk bottle stuck in your eyeball. I think they're a lot softer and a lot easier now, aren't they, than they used to be. But, you know, I just, the idea of doing them. But laser eye surgery, we can definitely, so whiskey, I understand. Laser eye surgery, I absolutely concur with that, Katie. Just wrong on every level. Now, if anyone's watching or listening and they've had it done and they want to make a case for it, make a case somewhere else, because Katie and I, not interested. Would that be fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Let's get that out of the way. So your third one's a bit of a... Well, I don't know if it's to do with squeamish. It's also to do with kind of the image thing. Now, laser eye surgery for you is not about the image. It's about the sort of the horror. This one's about what you don't want to do and what you don't want to have done to yourself. What's the third one, Katie, that's on your list?
Third one, and let me preface this by saying I have absolutely no problem with other people doing it, it's just not for me, is piercings. A lot of people, you know, they were 11, they went into Claire's Accessories, sort of like Liz Truss, and got a hole in their ear, and I just never did. You know, all my sisters did, and I don't know if I just missed the boat, but I'm 32 now, and I think the idea of me putting a Liz Truss and walking into Claire's Accessories and getting my ears done, or my belly button, or my lip, or whatever, it just, I don't know, it's embarrassing, it's infantile, I don't know. But
I'm not sure that they'd accept you in Claire's Accessories, because from what I understand, you have to be 12 to have your ears pierced in Claire's Accessories, don't you?
Probably. I think you can get it done at tattoo studios, and I have tattoos, so I don't have an issue with needles. I'm a blood donor. But I think my mum always used to say, I've got enough holes in my body as it is.
Oh, wow. That now you can't unsee things, Katie. So thanks for sharing that with the audience. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's all right.
Right though, you're right though. For me, the idea of puncturing a hole through skin and every my experience, my daughter and my wife have got pieces. My daughter's sort of average, she's got quite a few going up the ear and the one in the middle, the whatever. Invariably, the early ones that she had, they all go bloody septic and manky, don't they, as well? So,
That as
and then
well.
so why would you do that to yourself?
That's it, and it's just like the maintenance. I can't be asked. I don't want to deal with infections or whatever. And I actually do occasionally wear clip-on earrings from Claire's Accessories. I remember I did a podcast once. Do you know Mike Winnett?
Oh, he's cracking, Mike. I'm going to get him on here, actually. I might have to have an extra double episode for him because he's got lots to say, hasn't he?
Exactly. But I went on his podcast and he was like, "Are you wearing clip-on earrings? My 5-year-old daughter wears those." And I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can get those nose rings that don't go through. They just look like they go through. But you know, my daughter wears one of those in advance of her having her nose done. But you know.
I mean, I like the look of them, but it's more that I don't want to be pierced. And again, it's not an issue with needles because I have two tattoos, but it's just, oh, septic. Oh.
Well, it's a septic bit for me, and I was working a while ago at an office, and they had quite a lot of like junior staff and interns and all that kind of thing, and maybe sort of people from university age, and there seemed to be a spate of the young girls particularly getting the belly buttons done. And put like a little square thing through the belly button, and invariably they come into work and go, "I've had my belly button done," and it looked like red raw. It looked like they all looked like red raw and sore and like
Oh,
I love the word oozing. They were oozing, and I think yourself, for what purpose really? But anyway, I get that. We'll not go on to some of the piercings that people have that should remain private, and that's male and female. What on earth? What?
ouch.
On yeah, not just ouch, but why? Anyway, let's move on from that. So you're three, whiskey for obvious reasons. I love the idea of being poured Jack Daniels over in a bath at age eight. Laser eye surgery, totally with you. And piercings, yeah. But I mean, you're tattooed, so it's not about fear. It's just about you. I think you missed the boat, didn't you? The bus left, and the train left the station, and Katie was still on the platform. So you know, maybe I'm with you on the age thing, though. Tattoos are really de rigueur now, aren't they? Really, really fashionable. I've hit an age where, you know, I think if I went to a tattoo studio, they'd just piss themselves laughing, wouldn't they? Go, what on earth? So no, I'm never going to get a tattoo because that's not my one. I'm not going to do. But it just, you know, the boat's gone, hasn't it? And I'm on the dock, or I'm on the station for the train. I just missed it really. So anyway, so that's your three. I always share one. One thing I'm never going to do, and then we get onto your aspirational one. The one thing I'm never going to do, and I think it's appropriate given the time of year, is I've got zero intention, literally zero intention of booking a holiday anywhere where there's a kids' club. A kids' club in a holiday environment is my idea of hell. Just, have you been on anywhere where there's kids around that, you know, on, you know, like running around the pool, and they're always, you know, noise. I don't mind the noise. I'm quite a noisy bugger myself, but bloody hell, kids clubs, oh, I don't know why they have them.
I understand, but I feel like you have holidays for different purposes, and if you want to go and just get pissed up, then maybe you shouldn't bring your kids. It's easy for me to say, I don't have children, but generally, if I'm in a restaurant or something, there are kids running around. I'm just giving them my evil witch eyes. So yeah, I don't really agree with you.
I totally get if you're a parent taking kids abroad that you need a kids club, because you need to make sure that your kids are not, you know, your responsibility for the entire fortnight, because that's an abdication thing. But the other thing is, my view is, you know, if you're taking kids abroad and they're aged below 4 or 5, you're a brave set of buggers, because that's not a holiday for the parents. The parents are constantly on the lookout, like me, a cat's, you know, where are they? There's so many things can kill and injure a kid on holiday: pools, slipping, you know, alcohol, glass, all sorts of. So, a kids' club, I get why they put them in a prison, really, and make them do finger painting. But it's not for me. Not for me. If anywhere it says we've got a kids club, I'm looking next door. I want to go adults only, not for that reason. I want to go adults only, and I want to go somewhere where, you know, I've got two kids of my own. They're not kids anymore. They're grown up. I love my own kids. Not a big fan of most of the people's, but let's move on from that. So that's our three and one. The interesting one of what you do want to do counteracts one of the things that my guest on episode number two, Jimmy Lund, said he didn't want to do, definitely. What do you actually want to do?
Well, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I've jumped out of a plane three times, but I've never done a bungee jump. So I guess it's just a variation of that. And I would absolutely love to. Is it New Zealand where you can jump into a gorge or something? I really should Google it. But it terrifies me, but that's kind of why I want to do it. You know?
Okay. Now, on episode two, Jimmy explained why bungee jumping just wasn't for him, and I sort of agreed with him. And he did say that if he had the choice between jumping out of a plane and doing a bungee jump, if his life depended on it, he would just about choose jumping out of a plane. And we discussed the idea of trusting someone to put a piece of elastic around your ankles and you literally throw yourself into oblivion. And he had a fear of falling. Okay. I don't have a fear of falling. I have a fear of hitting hard things at like really high speed. Really, that's probably my fear. Why a bungee jump then, Katie? Why adrenaline junkie? I get. Why a bungee jump? You must be mad.
I think just to sort of counter what he said is because you have to make that decision when you do a skydive. You're attached to someone and they jump out for you. Which is great, but I think it's that initial right. I could back out now, but no, I've got to take control here. I've got to face my fears. I mean, I don't like the idea of the kind of recoil. It sounds like I might like break my spine, but I know it'll be over in seconds because I've done skydives, I've done water slides. I know it'll be boom.
Yeah.
But it's having that bravery to take that step and actually do it myself.
And you'd probably want to do it again, wouldn't you? It's one of those things, I think, you know, it's... I remember when my kids were young, there was a place in York called Waterworld and had a really fast slide. I can't remember what it was called now. There was three next to each other and they got progressively faster. And the fastest one, my daughter and son were nervous about going down when they were little. But when they went down for the first time, they were straight back up the stairs to do it again and again and again and again. So it's that first one, isn't it, really? I always say with a bungee jump, that is the one time in your life, the absolute guaranteed time in your life, when you should not be telling lies about your weight. You know when someone says, how much do you weigh? And you shave a couple of pounds off or a couple of kilos off because you don't want to sound like you've put a bit on over lockdown. You want to be telling that person who's tying that weight to your, that elastic to your ankles, exactly how much you weigh. So the tension's right. Because I want to gently hit the water with my forehead. I don't want to hit the bedrock of the river with my entire body. So you have to be totally honest about your weight, don't you, for that, I think?
Yeah, I think when I went to the skydive, they make you stand on the scales and I had all my clothes on. I'm like, I've got my clothes on, my trainer's heavy.
Your trainer's heavy.
I love after lockdown.
Well, the other thing is you can blame the fact that you've got a harness and parachute and all that kind of thing on. They weigh a lot, don't they? So, bungee jump, good luck. Adrenaline junkie then, is New Zealand on your list of places to go?
I think so. I mean, the idea of flying for, 17 hours or something isn't great, but probably worth it. We've got friends who moved over there, I think, just after Brexit, because he sort of panicked and thought, what's going to happen employment-wise? And he went over there and, said it was amazing. So just for sightseeing, really, I don't think I would live there, because I hear it's quite expensive.
It's a long way from anywhere, but it's supposed to be beautiful. It's like Scotland on steroids, isn't it, apparently? And it's beautiful. So okay, we'll accept the bungee jump for the reason you want to do it. I won't be joining you on a tandem bungee jump. I'm not sure the wire is strong enough for a tandem bungee jump where I'm half of it, to be fair, or more than half of it. But anyway, we'll move on from that. So you've done your three you don't want to do. And you one you do want to do. I've got to finish off with my one I do want to do. Okay. It's slightly weird. And it's just something's happened this week, okay? I want to be and continue to be the guy who reads out his mobile phone number properly. You might think, what the hell's that about? Here's how you read a mobile phone number out. 07885 gap. 463 slight gap 495. 07885 463 495. It's got a rhythm to it, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
Twice this week, two people have repeated my mobile phone number back like this. Is this your number, sir? 078-854-63495. On each occasion, I've got no idea. I've got no idea if what you've just read back to me is my phone number that I've had for 20 years that I know off by heart, that's tattooed inside my eyelids, that I could recite without question in any circumstances. And twice this week, you've read my number back to me and I didn't recognise it. Read the bloody number back in the right order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 3. Don't read it out as 078-854-63495. I've no idea. So I'm going to continue to be the old fart who reads the number out properly. And wherever I see people doing it incorrectly, as far as I can see, I'm going to challenge them. I had to write the number down and read it back to myself in the right place, in the right order. So that's my rant of the day. What's your thoughts on that? There's only one way of reading a mobile app.
I think perhaps you've sort of memorized the rhythm rather than the numbers themselves. It's interesting because if you look at it in Spanish, for example, Craig and I have a Spanish degree. When they read phone numbers, they would say like 56, 78 or whatever, and it would be like 68 or whatever. And if they're reading a number back to you, then going, oh, hang on, he's not saying 78, he's going 68. And now I've got to think, right, translate 78 or whatever. So the rhythm really throws you off, doesn't it? Whether that's in English or Spanish.
Well, English, Spanish, but certainly the two call centres, I think they were call centres ringing me, repeating something back, were just bizarre. So I'm going to be the guy who continues to read his number back properly.
Please do, yes.
Yeah, please, I will do. Thank you. So we've got, in summary, three things. No whiskey. No laser eye surgery, no piercing, and I'm not going on a holiday with the kids' club anytime soon.
Perfect.
You definitely want to do a bungee jump, despite what Jimmy's tried to put you off in episode 2. And I'm going to continue to read my mobile phone out correctly. So, Katie, that's been a bit of fun. That's what the Fuck It List podcast is about, really. We're just about poking fun at things that are out there that just annoy us or upset us or think that people love to say they're going to do and we think, not for me. So if you've enjoyed it and you want to subscribe or like or comment, that'll build the momentum of the podcast. If you've got a sense of humour and you've got your own Fuck It List, then reach out and get on our guest list. We're always looking to hear from people who've got both a sense of humour and a bit of an interest in various things that that want to share with the world. And I'm looking to build a bit of a movement, really, sort of antidote, as I say, to uninspiring goal setters. This podcast is going to be available exclusively initially on YouTube. Just search the Fuck It List or F-CK-IT-List podcast, and you'll find it from there. But we're going to also roll it out on various podcast channels after we've had the initial launch. So this is going to be episode 3, so early on, going to be YouTube only. So without further ado, thank you very much for watching and listening. Katie, thanks for being a brilliant guest, and hope you enjoyed the Fuck It List podcast.